I speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, sustainer. Amen. What a couple of great passages for a farewell sermon, huh? And it hasn't helped that all week long in the office, Rachel has been reminding me, you know, it's the healthy, healed man who stays and the demon pigs who leave. I don't know what she means by that. I don't know why she would say that. Now, of course, she didn't say that all week, and I haven't even been in the office all week. So I feel like I should confess now and say that almost any time that I've said Rachel said something, I've made it up. That's kind of my comedy stylings, right? As you kind of force words into someone's mouth to exaggerate those qualities that we love about them, and through that hyperbole, we get a laugh. And I just wanted to clear that up on my way out. Now, back to the sermon at hand. I've always felt a little bit sorry for the man who is healed. He asks Jesus, he begs Jesus, "Can I go with you?" And Jesus says, "No." He is turned down by Jesus. Why is that? Why could that be? Here he has been healed from demon possession. Maybe that's the reason. His story is too good. You got Peter who would say, "I used to be a fisherman, now I'm a fisher of men." And then you got this guy who's going to say, "I used to be possessed by 2,000 demons, and now I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit." I mean, how can you top that, right? So he had to stay. No, that is not the reason. I think the reason that Jesus leaves this man behind is because of the relationship he has with his community. Jesus knows that this man, with his unique story of healing and restoration, can be a far better testimony to the power of God in the world than Jesus can himself. So Jesus' call in his life is to stay put. He sends him home and tells him to go tell the others what God has done for him so that his healing experience can be a source of healing offered to the entire community. Now you might be saying, "Reverend Josh, are you really going to take a perfectly good Jesus casting out demons story and make it about community development?" Yes, yes, I am. Let's look at the relationship between this demon-possessed man and his community. Now, I admit, this is a minority opinion, but a reputable one. So let's encounter this man and see him as Jesus sees him. Let's set aside our modern Western civilization eyes that want to see this through the lens of a Hollywood horror film where he's bound and shackled and living among the tombs, and it's scary. And let's see it in a different light, how Jesus encountered him coming into this town. We see that he is on the edge of society, that he is bound and shackled, that he lives there among the tombs. That is what we know. But when we look a little bit deeper into those facts, we see that this is a community that is caring for this man in the way that they best know in their time. He is on the edge of society, not completely cast out. He's not left to go into the wild. In fact, he's bound, it says specifically, to keep him from running into the wild. And the wild is the place of eternal damnation or cursedness. We see that through other stories in the scriptures like Hagar and Cain. So here he is kept in this liminal space in the tombs. And again, we see the tombs can be a scary place to us, but we also know that the tombs can be a place of connection. And in some cultures, it's even a place of feasting and celebration. We go to graveyards to feel connected to those people that we love but see no longer as we pray. So this liminal space on the edge of society among the tombs is not just a place of being outcast, but a place of feeling connection to someone who is gone in a sense, but not quite gone from us. This is how the man is experienced in the community. He is no longer himself. He looks like himself. He is who he is, and yet he is not himself. So it makes sense that he finds his place and stays among the dead. And lastly, we see that he has been living like this for some time. The community must be caring for him and providing for him, bringing him food. It says that they guard him. They don't guard themselves from him. But he is bound and shackled and guarded for his own protection, to keep him from harming himself or others. And indeed, once the demons leave the man and they go into the pigs immediately run off the cliff and drown into the ocean. So we see that what the community has done for this man has been effective in some sense, that it has kept him from running off the cliff and drowning in the ocean. We know this man from Scripture as the demoniac. But indeed, the village at that time would have known him as their son, husband, brother, or father, or cousin. The whole community has suffered because of this legion of demons. So then also healing must come not just for the man, but for the whole community. Both the man and the community are in need of liberation. So why does Jesus leave him behind? Because of the community, because he is a part of them, and they are part of his healing just as much as Jesus. Just like the demon spoke through the man's voice, the story and hope of healing and restoration must also come from this man's own voice. He must tell his own story in his own voice. It's part of his healing, and it's part of the healing that he offers to the community. When they encounter Jesus, they are afraid, and they ask him to leave. But when they hear and see this man's transformation, they are astounded, and they understand the good works of God. So what does this mean for us? Well, we see in this gospel the same principle that Reverend Michelle preached about last week with the Trinity. She preached the Trinity as this ever-welcoming invitation to a community of divine love. That when we experience for ourselves the welcome and hospitality offered to us through the unity of the Trinity, only then can we extend welcome and hospitality to others and experience God's peace on earth. And today's gospel builds on that same principle. When we experience healing and restoration through our encounter with Jesus, only then can we offer healing and restoration to others. Our restoration is not given for our own sake, but given to us so that we might share it for the sake of the healing of the entire community. So what is your story? How have you experienced Jesus' love? How have you encountered healing and restoration in your life? We don't share the same understanding of the spirit world as they did in the first century, but we do have some understanding of these situations in our lives and in our communities. We have entered painful places and times, especially when we ourselves or people we love become possessed by something that makes them not themselves. Maybe it's chronic pain, illness, substance abuse, depression, greed, ego, partisan ideologies, or maybe it's just playoff season. These things consume us. And where do we go when we get consumed by these things? We isolate, retreat, constrain ourselves to the margins. If you are experiencing this firsthand today, know that whatever places you find yourselves, among the tombs or in the wilds, Jesus comes to you and comes to you first. And Jesus speaks directly to those things that possess you and offers a liberating word of healing and restoration. Also know that just like this man who is possessed by a demon, there's a community that cares for you. Probably several communities, but I know that there's at least one. It's called St. Cross. You can ask for help. You are not alone. Whatever hardship we encounter, Jesus intervenes in our life to bring wholeness and completeness. However, this intervention doesn't always lift us out of our difficult situations. It's not some magical deliverance or escapism. Jesus' intervention calls upon us to live faithfully and share our story with one another in the community, in that wide array of human experience. To leave our troubles behind would be easy. Jesus calls us to remain in place and to live fully and faithfully in the midst of this hardship, and trust that both Jesus and your community can meet us in those places, that connection is possible and healing, even when we feel alone and chained up by our burdens. Now, to be clear, Jesus does not call us to remain in dangerous, abusive, exploitative situations. Jesus loves us. The love of Jesus is healing and restorative. If you are in a place of pain and brokenness and isolation, reach out to your community. Experience the love of God through the care of your community. I also want to acknowledge the isolation that is often felt by the caretaker. As you try your best to take care of the one you love the best way you know how, you may feel like the one who is bounded, marginalized, and among the tombs. I know this from the stories you have shared with me. I know this firsthand from taking care of my mom and my dad. It can be so lonely. Being the one who takes care of someone else, who provides and manages and visits, facing a terminal illness, managing your child's complex IEPs, watching your loved one fade away, or watching them choose violence or self-harm or fall into despair, apathy, aggression, or greed, whatever role you play in taking care of someone you love, know that the healing of others is not your task to take alone. The work of healing includes you. It is directed by Jesus's life-giving love, and it involves the whole community. Reach out. The call of Jesus is to experience healing and offer healing through community. If you read this gospel today and see yourself as among the town folk, keep the faith. You may be doing the best you can, and your calling is to keep caring, to keep those people close and connected. Don't isolate others, and don't isolate yourself. Keep working for that connection, for that community, and when healing occurs, then your calling is to listen. Listen to the story of God's holy work of healing and restoration. Just like the healed man that Jesus sends home, Jesus sends us home, back to our communities, to a life of connection with, care for, and commitment to one another. Through the gospel today, we are invited to tell our story of what God has done for us. Share your story. Share your story with the community and listen to others' stories. And in that sharing, we experience healing. We experience restoration. We experience connection. Indeed, we experience the love of God. Amen.